The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
This week's episode of Talking Simpsons is brought to you by Geek Fuel. Go to geekfuel.com/lasertime to sign up for a box of geeky goodies sent to you directly. And if you sign up through geekfuel.com/lasertime, you will get an exclusive Star Wars item worth $20 added to your first box.
Ahoy hoy, everybody, and welcome to Talking Simpsons, where we drink a lot of beer and stay out all night. I'm your host for this one, Bob Mackey. Who else is here today with me?
Christopher Antista, biggest Simpsons fan ever.
Henry Gilbert, the real biggest Simpsons fan ever.
Oh my gosh.
I'm Dave Rudden, and some people call me Maurice.
Dave was a real space cowboy, and today's episode is The Way We Was, which, in case you don't remember, this is the 70s flashback episode to when Homer and Marge first met in high school. This episode aired on January 31st, 1991. Chris, what happened on this fabled day in history?
Oh my God, Bobby.
Oh my God.
A Marriott announces it's selling all 104 of its Big Boy Burger chains. The American Music Awards announces MC Hammer has tied Michael Jackson as their most decorated artist ever.
Wow.
And AIDS announces it's the number two killer of young men.
Wow. Did the virus make a press release? And I gotta say, prayer did not help MC Hammer avoid bankruptcy, right?
Oh, man.
And please note that Charlie Sheen was a young man back then.
So. Yeah.
Oh, boy, man.
We're getting personal now.
That was some dark news to cap that off with.
I apologize. So, this episode's gonna be funny, though.
Yes,
when everybody started wearing the red ribbons.
That is
Big
true,
Boy
yeah.
Burgers, isn't that the Lord Ladd donuts?
Lord Ladd.
Holding up like a platter with a burger on it.
I've never been to one, but I remember a news chain and my parents with like a look of jaw-drop shop. The last Big Boy Burger. And I think there's still a couple around the country.
They've
like,
returned. Well, that was a joke in Austin Powers that Big Boy was making its return.
Yeah. Like,
so that was Dr. Evil's lair, right? Yep. It was in a Big Boy. Mm-hmm. So this episode, I want to talk about one thing first. Like, this is the first taste of 70s nostalgia that I think the world would experience. But just putting this in perspective, this episode is written in 1991 and aired in 1991. Probably written in 1990, I'm guessing. But okay, so this episode is about 17 years before 91. If this episode aired today, it would be about 1998.
They actually did that.
So just think about
that's
that.
One of the worst episodes.
It's one of the most hated episodes.
Yes.
I hate that episode.
I don't want to talk about that 90s show because it just destroys canon. Relishes in destroying canon in a way that I feel is like self-destructive.
It's incredibly surreal as an adult fan of The Simpsons, though, when this flashback is so canon it's not even funny. Artie Ziff is created here, and the idea that like you're going to flash back to your origins, and it's from when I was in high school.
And also, Homer invents grunge after grunge is invented.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense at all.
There's
it's a terrible episode.
But
Sonic
like...
does ask you to wear condoms.
That's true,
that,
yeah.
That is
but
funny. That is a good joke.
I know I'm infringing on your guys' territory, but like, Matt Groening didn't want to do this episode because he didn't want to like stake The Simpsons to like a time and like time
exactly
and
yeah.
Brad Bird also said the same thing that Mike, you're gonna regret this if this goes for 10 years. This is gonna stick you in a certain time, and they say like forget it, buddy.
Yeah, they were just like, this is such a good episode and such a good concept. We'd like
central
to
the episode is 70s jokes everywhere. If you lose the time frame, then you lose the joke.
And it was really surreal watching this with my parents because Homer and Marge graduate in 74. Mm-hmm. And so did my parents.
Yeah.
So, wow. like, my parents are on the verge of turning 60, or they just did turn 60. Yeah. So, like, that is, like, the quote-unquote real age of Marge and Homer is 60 at this point.
I made that note, too. Like, if they were 18 and 74, they are pushing 60.
And they were born
now.
In 56, I'm guessing, or 55. Yeah,
no,
so
right around my parents.
Yeah, so, like, I feel like this was the first taste of 70s nostalgia anyone would have. I mean,
definitely the first for me.
And, like, the 90s would just be about 70s nostalgia. Yeah. To the point you were just like, shut up. I did not live through this era. I don't care about platform shoes or lapels
or
whatever.
The Brady Bunch. Yeah. Yeah.
One of the best.
She got hit in the eye with a football.
Yeah. One of the best unsung movies of the 90s is the Beavis and Butthead movie, which seems to think it... Watching it now, I'm like, did they really think the 70s was this funny? And that's why they have to open the movie?
And like, any kind of Waka Chica and afros were immediately, like, comedy gold in the 90s. Yeah. So, I mean, it was untapped ground,
this episode
I guess.
Is riddled with.
Yes.
And now... The 70s were as close to them as the 90s are to us now.
Yeah.
So I wonder if the kids our age are going to be like, I don't care about this 90s nostalgia. Quit with your Kickstarters, Mystery Science Theater 3000.
This episode would be about, like, there'd be, like, Papa Roach and, like, Fred Durst on the soundtrack and, like, Homer wearing JNCOs and things like that. But
it is one of the most hacked soundtracks of 70s nostalgia history.
No, it was
the Steve Miller Band, Do the Hustle.
Songs.
The thing is, these are very specific to 1974. Like, The Prom is Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, which was, like, a 73 album by Elton John.
Oh,
like,
Bobby.
They
so
are so specific, and they used to be very specific about these things. Like, this is going to take place in 74. They all have to be 74 related, or, like, at least within that time period. So, should we talk about... Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, where does it start?
The framing device, which became the framing device for all flashback episodes.
That's right. Like, something goes wrong. Like, either the TV show they're watching is boring, or the TV breaks. In this case, they're watching a Siskel and Ebert parody.
Which I love, because I love...
Well, these are both dead men, by the way, if you want to play that.
Well, now, only recently.
And that chase at the end, my friend? Wow! Are you nuts? That movie stinks like your creepy one-bedroom apartment.
Your mother didn't think it was so creepy.
My mother, real mature, I'm sick of your great school.
I love watching a bald guy argue with a fat tub of lard.
Okay, I want to say, like, I recognize that as a joke, because Homer is both bald and fatter than Ebert.
Yes. I love how celebrated Roger Ebert and Gene Siskel were back in the day. Like, they were the most recognizable critics in the world. Who's the most recognizable critic now?
PewDiePie. I don't
know. Yeah, I guess so.
But I do want to say, Chris, we have seen the first appearance of McBain.
Yes.
I don't know if you grabbed the clip.
Our next movie is McBain. Another shoot 'em up, push him through the plate glass window, splatter fest from the Hollywood cookie cutter. Here's a typically brainless scene.
Senator Mendoza is one of the most respected citizens in this state, McBain. And yet you ran his limo off a cliff, broke the necks of three of his bodyguards, and drove a bus to his front door?
But Captain, I have proof that he's head of an international drug cartel.
I don't want to hear it, McBain. You're out of here.
That makes two of us.
Okay.
That
makes two of us.
So throughout the first three or four years, we see a lot of McBain clips. And the amazing thing is if you hook them all up to each other, they tell an entire story, which I only realized recently. Like, Mendoza pops up later because when McBain is mourning the death of his bar, he's like, Mendoza!
I don't think it does tell
the
story.
No,
it does. There's a YouTube. There's been YouTube
I know this, but what it is, it's so specifically making fun of a certain type of movie with the same characters. There's not a real movie in there. It's just all little pieces of a cliche of what all those movies were.
This is more than just a fan theory, Chris. I think it's real.
Yeah, they can act like it's different films, but they're like, no, he's chasing after Senator Mendoza. He's told not to do that.
Yeah.
His partner is killed by a guy hired by Mendoza.
And then there's like the party's like, it's three times more addictive than marijuana.
Yeah. I love that.
I think they were done sequentially in order, but I don't think on behalf of the writers they were trying to make a whole McBain movie.
I think they were in on not like a movie, but they're just like they're pulling clips from what could have been a movie.
Yeah. Well, the biggest props I want to give is to whoever did the celluloid border and font for the movie clip of the review show is so painfully, disgustingly Tim and Eric accurate.
Oh, for
to
sure,
that
yeah.
kind of show.
Yeah.
It was such a specific Arnold Schwarzenegger joke that here's a guy who is impossibly giant and has an accent that makes no sense. Like, yeah, he's a cop. He's just a cop named McBain.
Yeah.
And there was a movie, there was an action film called McBain that came out after this that... Apparently, the Fox lawyers told them, no, you can't call McBain because there's this movie. Like, but we had it first.
And Riff Trax did a Riff Trax of it.
They
and,
did?
And Christopher Walken is in McBain. The
really?
Movie, yeah.
McBain. And so that's why he just became Raymere Wolfcastle, and they were introducing him by his character name, his actor name all the time.
Right.
From then on.
Yep.
McBain. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
There was a real McBain movie.
I was very annoyed that it wasn't President McBain, that it was President Schwarzenegger in the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel that was a little patronizing.
I was elected to lead, not read.
So what happens in this episode is the TV breaks. And I think this is.
Sir, I'd rather tell you a different story. How your father and I first met and fell in love. We were seniors in high school, but we had never even met.
Never ever heard that song before this
the Carpenters.
Episode. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. But it's a sound alike here. But I think Steve Miller is the real song, but the Carpenters might be a sound alike.
Really?
Yeah. They got the song rights, but right. They just didn't get the master rights.
A little too
rights.
Expensive.
Yeah, but this became their song. Like, speaking again of the movie, that song is playing on their wedding videotape.
Yeah.
Which is apocryphal. They did not film their wedding. They got married in, like, Reno, Nevada.
That is true.
But anyway, yeah.
I still like that it's as far as licensed music goes, this is one of the only songs to come back over and over again.
Yeah. Though I also did not get, as a kid, the idea that Homer proposed to Marge by getting her pregnant. Like, that's how,
right, yeah.
That's how he proposed to her.
Out of wedlock. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, we flash back to 1974, and, like, Homer is the Homer that we know today. He is, like, shiftless, aimless, no ambition, and just an idiot. And
once again, a great clip of Dan Castellaneta singing.
Some people call me a space cowboy.
Yeah.
Some call me the gangster of love. Some people call me Maurice.
God.
I always do the woo-woo when I sing along with it, too.
I have a... Oh, man.
Steve Miller Band.
Steve Miller Band. This is... I shouldn't even bring this up. But it tortures me now. I was, like, so in love with this girl in high school, and she just considered me her friend. Just beautiful. And seems like... at one point, seemed like she was torturing me. Mm-hmm. And she didn't like me like that. And then one time, she's like, I've been practicing my stripping, and, like, literally stripped naked... to this song in front of me, and, like, I was such a fucking wuss and a baby. I'm just like, that's pretty good stripping.
You think, like, that was her testing you to see if you had the balls to make a movie?
I absolutely
she
knew she didn't want anything to do with me like that. She was treating me
she
like
she was taunting you.
She
then.
Treated me like a no. Well, she was treating me like her gay friend.
I see.
Because
okay.
I had become I was so harmless and like. Oh.
I'm picturing you as Roger Rabbit with the steam coming out of the ears.
You were in the friend zone, not the bone zone, where you wanted to be.
I got there eventually, but don't worry about it.
I love Homer's car, number one.
Oh, it's so cool. I think it's a Pinto.
I think so.
Yeah, it's hideous.
Also, I made this note that after watching now Futurama, I can't not see Homer as Fry. Teen Homer.
Oh, for sure. I had the same thought.
Teen Homer is Fry.
Yeah.
And I think it's also because... Matt Groening says on the commentary that Teen Homer was kind of inspired by him. Like, that was
same
his haircut as
yeah.
a kid.
Also
and
the same haircut of Brett Elson from, like, the last
and, well,
the last
I mean,
years.
Like, I was watching the episode. I'm like, it would not take that much modification to make my hair like Homer's. Like, flatten here, part here.
You're really going
to
ditch the Dolph Ziggler, Daniel Bryan thing you have happening?
Well, you need puffier bangs, though. That's
oh, yes.
Thing.
Yeah, I don't know if puffy. I could just flatten everything. It would be kind of like Homer's. But anywho. Like,
I also meant to point out, like, whenever I see these scenes of the Simpsons watching television together and not looking at their iPhones, it's always a little jarring. But the idea of an entire family sitting around together and watching a Siskel and Ebert review show like that, I can just imagine, like, throwing things at my parents until they change the
And they're
channel.
Traumatized when it's over. Yeah. When it doesn't, like, when the TV breaks, they're screaming. Like,
I think this is sick. You're staring at a dot.
That's a great line. So we also meet Marge. And one of the things I missed in this episode where, like, her friend introduces her to feminism, but all of Marge's feminism is based on one issue of one magazine.
Ms. Magazine.
And she's radicalized within, like, 2 hours.
And she applies it inappropriately later when she's talking about the movie Butterflies Are Free.
Is that a real movie?
That's what her speech is based on in 2 different scenes.
Even
yes.
if your kid is blind?
Yes. Okay, we'll talk about this later, but we'll get to
it. I'm for equal rights, but do we really need a whole amendment? Come on, Marge. Don't you think you deserve to earn just as much as a man who does the same job?
Well, not if I have to do heavy lifting or math.
Oh, Marge, you really ought to read this.
That is such an old stereotype. Do you know anybody in your life who is better at math than a woman?
Yeah.
Like, that's...
Was that a stereotype? Women are bad at math?
I think that's what it was.
Everybody got so mad at Barbie saying math is hard.
That's right, yeah.
Which would later be a Simpsons episode.
I feel like the stereotype is flipped, though, right? Like, women are just like...
When we go and play a strategy game,
yeah,
all of our women friends kick the shit out of us. My woman, my lady particularly helps me balance my finances. Like, how the fuck did women get the reputation of being bad at
math? I'm actually hearing that, like, I've heard men's rights activists quote statistics that men are falling behind women in all these college fields. Like, they're better educated.
It's the war on men.
Exactly. Now, whatever happened to Marge's friend, too? Like, Homer is still friends with Barney to this day.
I do love the clip of them meeting in high school for the first time.
Hi, Homer. You're late for English.
English? Who needs that? I'm never going to England. Come on, let's go smoke.
So, so I first read that as a kid as they're smoking cigarettes. Yeah. But... When he calls them, their answer to Cheech and Chong, were they supposed to be smoking weed?
I think you're right. Because I also think was this the first time I saw a bong? Or was there a bong?
The bong line. It was the first time I'd heard the word bong.
I don't
bong.
Know if it was Don DeLinger was so out of touch that he didn't realize like Cheech and Chong were smoking pot.
That's the most Rick and Morty principal name.
Is his name Don DeLinger?
Mr. Don DeLinger.
Yeah.
And he comes back on occasion.
But yeah, like Marge also notices the smell of smoke coming from the boys' room, which is like... Or not, like,
I guess if it was tobacco, you'd smell that. Too.
Yeah, you would, but they're smoking. I don't know.
It's a specific marijuana is a specific smell. Yeah.
If I didn't say this already, I said it in the last episode, but these two are a 1-2 punch of emotional wreckage for poor little Chris here. Like, I don't know why, but this episode really gets me right in the cockles. Homer meeting Marge for the first time.
Excuse me, is this room 106?
Hey, who's that? I don't know.
Why do birds suddenly
It's a great sequence. Yeah. It's a great sequence.
I love the animation. David Silverman, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he mentioned that. Oh,
so this isn't the Carpenters?
No, it's a Carpenters.
Just like me. They love
it's a studio singer.
Yeah, it's a very close sound to Karen Carpenter. Also, speaking of David Silverman, he mentioned on the commentary that he graduated in 1974 as well.
Oh, wow.
And so he brought in his school yearbook to show them, like, here's fashion, like, here's what we were all doing in 1974.
And Marge's hair, she's wearing her hair down, she's putting her bangs behind her ears.
Yeah,
her hairstyle reminds me of, is it Busy Phillips from Freaks and Geeks? Like, the exact same
hairstyle.
That's
right, yeah.
Though once her hair goes up, she doesn't look young anymore. She's like, well, you're grown up, Marge, now. Like, it's very indistinguishable.
And Homer with hair looks so much younger. Like, he's not supposed to be that old in the show, but, like, the hair does do a lot for him.
It's later in a later flashback where they show the progress of his hair. Yeah. And, like, okay, now that all makes sense. So, it's all plausible.
So then, when Homer tells his dad...
Him courting Marge... He meets Marge in detention. Marge's first time in detention.
So Homer goes to detention for smoking, and Marge goes for burning her bra.
Which goes up like tissue paper. Again, this...
Was that supposed to indicate that Marge stuffed her bra?
Yeah.
I thought it might, but I think it just... I don't know. This episode, to me, is one of the funniest ever. Like, line for line is really funny.
Stuffing your bra was just putting tissues in it, because there's an episode of The Wonder Years where Kevin finds out that cheerleader stuffs her bra, and it's, like, traumatic for him.
But I didn't know if that was Marge's bra, or
the most important
bra that was given to her during the demonstration.
Like, whatever bra it was. I thought it was supposed to be funny that they were burning they didn't know how to burn a bra when making a proper demonstration.
It does remind me when they
read it as a small tit joke. You pervs!
Jeez.
God, I'm so progressive.
It does remind me of when they're burning the Krusty merchandise. It's like, wow, I didn't realize they would burn that much. Burn that quick.
But this scene, I think, is particularly sweet. Homer trying to ask out Marge in detention.
Oh, yeah.
So, what are you in for?
I'm a political prisoner. Last time I ever take a stand.
Well, I'm here for being me. Every day I show up, act like me, and they slap me in here.
Simpson, be quiet.
I haven't seen you in school before.
Okay, Simpson.
What?
You just bought yourself another day of detention.
Maybe we should get together sometime.
2 days.
I'm sorry, I don't even know your name.
I'm Homer. 3 days.
Jay.
4 days.
Simpson.
5 days.
It was worth it.
6 days. Okay, Simpson, to the back of the room.
You should have punished Marge for talking there, though, too.
No. They never explained, like, why was Marge new to the school? They never explained why they would never have met before.
No, I mean, you went to high school and you didn't know everybody. Like,
yeah, but there's only a little thing with Marge because she's treated like the hottest girl in school, but nobody knows her name. She's not popular. But
I mean, my school was, I don't know, like probably like the graduating class was probably like 200-300 people. So like I knew like one third of them from my grade school, and then like another third of them from middle school, and then the other third, like, magician at the beginning class? Of high school. Oh. Like, it, no, but it was like, you would gradually get to know all these people. Like, yeah. Senior year, if somebody shows up, they're a new kid, and yeah. That, yeah. They're a mystery.
No,
so,
I'm saying
like,
it does not frame that very well at all. It does treat Marge like the new kid in school.
Yeah, they well, no, I, yeah. But it's just
I think
a
Marge was just a nerd who took civics classes, who blossomed, but Homer was never going to see her.
And Homer is probably self-centered and stupid, so it's very possibly he doesn't know everybody.
He's got the worst father ever. I love in the flashback how bad how bad his advice is, and what in most flashback sequences Abe is portrayed as awful.
And their house is just disgusting,
dude. It like again, I had there's too many things that awoken something in me in Barney's house, but at least it's not Abe's house.
Yeah, yeah. Where he's raising a family.
Where there's like greasy fan vents all over this, yeah, like
everywhere.
Coops in the ceiling.
Well, their dinner is like we got a bucket of Shakespeare's fried chicken. Let's just eat it together.
I miss Shakespeare's fried chicken.
Again, the worst advice ever.
Now, this girlfriend of yours, is she a real looker? Light on the ball?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, son, don't overreach. Go for the dented card. The dead-end job. The less attractive girl.
Oh, Abe.
Oh, well, I blame myself. I should have had this talk a long time ago.
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, Pop.
Yeah,
knowing
Abe's wife left him makes this scene a lot more poignant for me.
And
that would
why
be like,
Homer aspires
Abe
to nothing.
An MRA.
Yeah,
why Homer aspires to nothing, and like why when he's even treated with a job at the nuclear power plant, he reacts like this.
Homer, do you have any plans for after graduation?
Me? I'm going to drink a lot of beer and stay out all night.
Oh, no, I meant career-wise. You know, that nuclear power plant will be opening soon. It's one of the few outfits around that won't require a college education.
Me in a nuclear power plant.
Kaboom!
I like seeing Burns on that brochure, too.
We find out...
So that guidance counselor would grow up to be Ebert in the beginning of the
I guess
episode.
So.
Well, all right, no,
your mother didn't think it was so...
A joke we skipped there that I really didn't get as a kid was when Abe tells him to get a beer.
That's right.
And he's like, I just collect the cans, Daddy.
Yeah, it's like he knows Homer's drinking.
That's such a mean thing to do. Like, and it was also a very like specific reference too, that it was a pull tab can.
That's right.
I pull the tab.
Remember finding those in the woods and like, what the fuck are these things?
They're futuristic, kind of.
A sticker based beer can.
So to defend Abe Simpson, it's like, well, he's letting his son have a beer with him while he gives him like the birds and the bees talk.
Yeah,
There's a lot of courtship rituals now that are considered not cool.
I think the idea of marrying your high school sweetheart is also not cool for our generation.
But
right?
There's also there is also the thing that like for some reason whenever you're trying to impress a woman, you're willing to become a better person for the first time in your life. I think that still exists.
Yeah,
and I love this that immediately Homer's like, I gotta join the debate club.
Yeah,
or something.
He finds out from the guidance counselor. That's what Marge is into,
and so that leads to
big breach of the guidance counselor contract or whatever. Like, I'll tell you exactly what this girl does.
Yes,
so that you can go do it.
Here's
too.
Her address.
Homer goes to him for love advice, really, not for his own like guidance.
And I didn't know if that was. That seemed to be a very specific reference, the idea of a guidance counselor for M through Z and A through
No, that's the way it worked in my school.
Yeah. Did it really?
Yeah.
I mean,
we had one guidance counselor in my school. There was not two guidance counselors split into the expertise whose expertise were split alphabetically.
See,
I went to a big high school.
Oh, rub it in, Dave.
Our guidance counselor shaved her eyebrows off and then painted them on, so when she was talking to you, you could not even pay attention. It was just like, what's going on with your eyebrows?
I have the worst guidance counselor story, just because like I saw my parents meet him when he's like, hi, how's it going, Tom? And then like I'm walking by him in just on the way out of lunch. I'm like, what's up, Tom? And he's like, hey!
Ooh.
Not fucking Tom to you, man. Ooh. Call me Mr. Blip. I don't fucking remember your name, asshole. But it traumatized me for a long time.
He did. Wow, he's way to pull rank, Tom.
He totally pulled rank on a fucking elementary school kid. I've hated guidance counselors ever since.
But he felt like a real big man.
But I love the clip.
And then Jay Sherman shows up, right?
That's the thing. I don't have that yet. But him joining the debate club, I love the sequence.
My name's Homer Simpson. I'd like to sign up for something.
Well, we have an opening on the debate team.
Debate? Like arguing?
Yes.
I'll take that, you stinkpot! Just warming up, Mrs. Blumenstein.
This year's topic is resolved. The national speed limit should be lowered to 55 miles per hour.
55? That's ridiculous! Sure, they'll save a few lives, but millions will be late!
Why don't you take Khan?
So I didn't have a good Lovitz clip of Ziff because I liked his clips later on. I think he becomes a better, funnier character. But Lovitz appears In our show first, but he appears as just a random shop teacher in the middle of the episode.
Oh, that's really? Him, right? Yeah.
I had him for 4 years. Solid C student. Made a lamp last year.
Homer
wow,
says
I never knew that was John Lovitz.
To go get references on him from other people throughout the school.
Yeah.
And I only grabbed this clip because it was on every promo for this episode, which I was obsessed with having recorded it and thinking Homer might be dead.
Look, I'm not asking you to like me. I'm not asking you to put yourself in a position where I can touch your goodies. I'm just asking you to be fair.
So that's then soon comes, I feel like, the first full shot of Homer's ass. Like,
yeah.
I guess he's naked in Simpsons in the nature
in the,
episode.
Call the Simpsons.
Yeah, he is nude, but you don't really see his butt. Like, in this one, that angle on his ass is like, it's near pornographic.
They can't show butts anymore, as far as I know, thanks to the whole Janet Jackson thing.
Thank you,
that
Janet.
Happened 10 years ago, or almost 12 years ago, Jesus Christ.
Your barely visible nipple showed on national television.
Dear God, the world saw pasties.
And Dan Castellaneta and John Lovitz have such great
it's fantastic.
They are so good together.
It is excellent. And I do love their sequence when he realizes he can get to Marge, because she's a French tutor, and if I pretend I'm a French student.
Also, I love it's not the most witty joke, but when Barney asks her friend out on a date, she's like, good God, no.
Well, she says, I wouldn't go out with you if you were Elliot Gould.
No,
that's another
different
character.
That also sounds like that voice in particular in that sequence sounds like it's coming from a different room. I don't know
how it
was. It
kind of does,
But this
guy, good
call this French Connection. I love how it bleeds into back into the present where the Simpsons are telling the story of the meeting.
I tutor part-time.
You tutor?
Yes.
And anyone can be tutored?
Just those who need help with French.
French? Mm-hmm. What a coincidence. Just the subject I'm having trouble with.
Why, you cagey old dog.
Great story. Positively spellbinding. Work, damn you, work.
Bart, pay attention.
Bart paying on the television.
Yeah.
Well, that came one of my favorite lines of the episode, which is like, you may be telling this to your own son someday if something breaks.
Now, my line is actually my line of the show.
That's the joke.
It just makes me laugh so much because it's Lisa essentially acknowledging she's in a flashback episode.
Everything I know tells me this story doesn't end with us sitting here and you telling it to us.
Well, so when Marge's French knowledge, like, she lost all of that. She used to apparently know French so well that she could tutor.
Well, her last name is Bouvier.
Her last name is Bouvier, so I'm assuming she's...
Just as a housewife, doesn't have any reason to use it.
So that's a Kennedy reference.
Of course,
Bouvier's, in case you did.
I mean, of course, I don't understand.
I mean, her mother's name is Jacqueline Bouvier.
Yes, that... Jacqueline Kennedy's maiden name was Bouvier. So
wasn't Onassis? I'm confused.
She then later married Onassis, which pissed a lot of people off that she married that Greek guy so soon.
Yeah.
This is the scandal of the 60s, but...
Eventually, Marge says yes to Homer.
Homer, you're amazing. Before, you couldn't say bonjour, but now you can conjugate all the regular verbs, two irregular verbs, and sing the first verse of Alouette.
Alouette, jante, Alouette, Alouette, jante, bloomeray.
Bien.
I can't believe it. It's sticking. You're telling me new stuff, and minutes later, it's still there. And it's all thanks to you. Marge, when I see you forming the vowels and consonants...
Consonants
with your beautiful mouths and your beautiful breath pushing...
It's a bit much.
Past your beautiful
teeth. You'll see. I guess.
I like that, I guess.
Marge.
That's cute.
Would you go to the prom with me?
You know, Homer, you're like no one I've ever met before. You're dear... And honest and open, without a trace of pretension.
I'll take that as a compliment. So will you go out with me? Please say we.
We?
Whoa, Marge! This will be the greatest night of your life. I've been saving up for a new engine for my car, but I'm going to spend it all on us. I'm renting the biggest limo. I'm going to buy you the biggest corsage. My tux is going to have the widest lapels, the most ruffles, and the highest platform shoes you ever saw.
Maybe I'll wear my hair up.
It just that last bit just to solidify this is the most 70s episode of all time.
That's the origin of Marge's hair, I think.
That is a sweet moment. Yeah, that she never puts it back down after that. Though that she wants to have a hairstyle exactly like her mom's.
Homer's
also odd.
His biggest barrier to actually going on a date with Marge is, he lies. And right after that clip, he immediately admits to it, which is like... He's too stupid to protect himself.
Yeah, I mean, he's like, if you like honesty, here's some honesty. And then Marge immediately is just like, God.
And I love that she goes, like, pretending to be stupid!
Yeah.
It was good acting, though I wanted to mention when I did see some parallels in real life with this, because You know, Marge knew French very well then and didn't seem to use it or have lost that skill in her as a mother. Like that, my mom too, like she learned Spanish into college, and like that was one of her skills, and now she barely has mastery of it anymore. Like she just kind of let it go.
Yeah, it happened to me too. I took a lot of French classes.
So other than Homer's own stupidity, who is the biggest barrier to heading to prom with Marge?
John Lovitz.
John Lovitz, yes. Playing Artie Ziff, who does his Occam.
Yeah,
Marge. I think that's the
this
first
may not be
Occam.
The most appropriate forum for what I'm about to put forth.
He's my quote of the show.
But Occam, would you go to the prom with me?
Whoa.
Well, I can think of a dozen highly cogent arguments. Now, the first is from Time Magazine, dated January 8th, 1974. America's love affair with the prom. Even wallflowers can look forward to one date a year.
No, Artie, the best argument is that I've known and respected you for 8 years, and I would be delighted to go to the prom with you.
Am I just too manly to, like, that is such a bizarre criteria to, like, go and date someone that I've respected you for 8 years.
Well, because she thinks she's going on a date with a friend, like, yeah. Clearly this will turn bad later, but she thinks, like, yeah, with a friend, sure.
Yeah.
Especially after the
Homer
incident.
Tells me that nice guys are just, they'll treat girls right.
Yeah. I liked his, like, 70s Jufro, though, yeah. Too. Like, it was really funny, but...
How do you like mine? Jesus.
I did love Homer's, guess who's got a date for the prom?
Like, yeah, we should point out Homer, Marge walks out on Homer, and he does not question it. Because he feels like if he avoids her, he'll still go
but
to the prom with her.
I have dealt with problems like that for almost my entire life.
Yeah. I mean, there's something now called the fade out, which, like, if you're just not interested in dating somebody, you just stop communicating with them. But there is that weird period where it's like, wait, I guess I'm still dating this person.
There's no closure here. Yeah. I think this is a long.
This is the very earliest instance of the fade out. But well, the whole thing with Artie, like just from the Achim to him, him using a Time magazine quote, America's love affair with a prom. Even wallflowers have one date a year.
Webster's defined prom.
That was all just like, that's my favorite scene of this entire episode.
He's such a great character, and I only didn't grab a clip of him earlier because he gets great at the end, the worst
yeah,
he
for
gets.
Sure.
They mention how in the commentary, this is pretty much his audition for The Critic. Like, after they did this, they're like,
yeah.
We want him back for more episodes of The Simpsons, and maybe we just want to make a whole cartoon.
He's one of the few people other than Phil Hartman who would go into play, like upwards of 5 characters, I think.
Yeah, Llewellyn and Sinclair was one of them.
There's actually a joke in, like, his 16th season appearance or whatever that all of his characters hang out together at
the bar. And, Al Jean and Mike Reese wrote this episode with Sam Simon, and they would be the Critic showrunners,
too.
Yeah,
they're the Critic showrunners. So... You were talking about what is the thing Marge is talking about with a blind child, and the more you help him, the more you hurt him.
Like, see, Marge is very into the idea of, like, women not supporting men or women not being exploited, but Butterflies Are Free is about a man who is basically held captive by his mother because he is blind. He was born blind, and she's taking care of him, but he wants to strike it out on his own. So it's like the mother is not being forced into the situation. She's doing it of her own free will. So Marge is misinterpreting it because she read one magazine about feminism. And it's such a low-key joke. It took me – this is like my 40th viewing of this episode.
It's only like written on the blackboard.
Yeah, like Butterflies Are Free. So I looked it up, and I was like, what's the synopsis of this movie? I imagine if you saw this in 91 and you were like 30, you would know what it was.
But
yeah.
Man, wow. I'm learning something right now.
I have no fucking idea.
It is such a low-key joke. Like, it is, it's still a joke, but you need to know what Butterflies Are Free are. And you need to understand what Marge's feminism is.
The most 70s fucking movie title of all time.
I do see this as kind of a sad story, though, that Marge, like, was a great student. Like, you can see that she's Lisa's mother in that, but just like her failing at this was kind of like the end of her academic career, pretty much.
I
she
feel
doesn't
like,
go to college.
You're totally right. I feel like a later episode would underline the tragedy of her marrying Homer. Like, she, her life just, like, went off the rails here. Like this is a mistake.
Well, I mean, he is George McFly to
Lorraine, right?
Lorraine, like, literally just took her off track.
Yeah, the apocryphal 90s show would say she went to college. But
that's right. And then, like, oh, God, let's not talk about
that
anymore.
Well, same with, like,
never say apocryphal again.
This is supposed to be their first meeting, but again, this would get retconned in a later episode that would show that Homer and Marge met when they were little kids, but
the
didn't,
blunder years, rather.
Yeah,
or,
but they didn't know who they were.
Yeah. Like, after this season, we will find out that The Simpsons are the worst at titling episodes.
Oh, for
ever.
Sure.
It is some of the worst comedy associated with The Simpsons. I did have a subline of the show just for Mrs. Bouvier.
Oh, this is one of mine too.
That's the joke.
If you pinch your cheeks, they'll glow. A little more. Try to break some capillaries, dear. Couldn't we just use rouge for this? Ladies, pinch.
whores use rouge.
It shows you the, what Marge grew up in.
Yeah. You gotta hurt yourself in order to make it look like you've just been fucked. I'm sorry, I'm just
again, like, yeah, a whore would use any makeup. Like, that's her mom's way of thinking.
But then, just the idea of broken capillaries in your skin, that's like people with, like, blood.
That's not the urban legend, though. It's like men are supposed to be attracted to that because it looks like a woman's just been had the shit fucked out of her.
That could have been it, yeah. And like, if you're flushed, you're aroused.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just picturing her cheeks looking like a really drunk man's nose where, like, all the blood vessels are broken, and it's like, is that what she's going for on her face? I still never actually.
Like, you haven't mentioned it yet. I'm surprised because, like, correct me if I'm wrong. We see Marge's family, including her father.
I wanted to point that out. His name is Clancy Bouvier, and it was revealed this year how he died on The Simpsons.
Really?
What is it?
An episode called Puffless. It was revealed he died of lung cancer.
Really?
Like, yeah, like in the writers' room, they're tossing around like ways he could have died. Like he died on a roller coaster or something. It was never admitted on the show, but
you and I both read Simpsons Illustrated. And I remember in one of their comics, the comic was that Mrs. Bouvier came over to stay, and Lisa mentions, "I know we all feel bad since your husband died in that roller coaster accident."
So I guess they use that joke there,
and they talk about it in the commentary that they had said that they'd pitched that as a potential thing, but it always got cut.
Yeah, and we saw him as a flight attendant in the season six episode "Fear of Flying."
He died of embarrassment.
Don't look at me.
Yeah.
But lung cancer makes sense. He's lighting up like one of the worst cigarettes you can, like a Tipperillo or something.
He is really like the male version of Patty and Selma. He's like,
this is the very rare appearance of Marge's dad.
You know, I usually insist on approving Marge's dates, but from what she's told me, I'm sure you're a solid citizen.
Thanks, Mr. B.
It sounds like Marvin Monroe mixed with Burgess Meredith.
So, also speaking of Marge's sexuality. What Patty and Selma say is, like, that's what you get if you don't put out, like, that she gets bad dates. That would imply, unless Patty and Selma are wrong about Marge's sexual history, that would imply that Marge has only ever been with Homer. Like, unless she's cheated on him, she's never been with another man.
I always assume
than Homer.
That, just because they met in high school and they both look like they're courting someone for the first time.
Well, it was a much simpler time, though, you know?
Then they seem to imply, and it was like in the time, I think even in the 90s, the idea that Marge would have been with anybody before Homer, like the writers or society.
Well, the commentary, they even say, like, it was controversial that we, like, said they had a child out of wedlock.
They didn't think they could get away with it.
They also say in 1974, Tinder was just a post office box that you submitted things to.
I would like to fuck you,
done
man.
With that. But, like, Homer is not Marge's date, but he shows up anyway.
So sad.
Which is wonderfully pathetic.
What are you doing here?
You said you'd go to the prom with me.
Well, I also said I hated you, and we haven't even talked since then.
I was afraid you'd cancel our date, so I stayed away from you completely, even though it meant skipping school for 3 weeks and graduating this summer. I hope.
Homer was wrong. He did not graduate.
They established that way later, though.
Oh, man, that's right. I totally didn't. Wow. Okay, yeah.
So
man,
Homer's estimation was wrong, that he needed to finish that remedial science class.
Was that episode The Front? When he went back to school?
Yes, it was the front. Wow. Yeah, which brought back Dondelinger as well.
Sheesh.
And by the way, in that episode, when they have their next 20th reunion, that would be in 2014.
Oh, my God.
In that flash forward. Wow. So we're now past that flash forward.
I'm terrified
But
now.
That's for 2 years
from now.
With
the plunger on his head again.
There is also the best, my favorite Simpsons character comes up here. And it's not a character.
Oh, that is another first. It is another first. That's Charles Bronson voice. It's the first time we've ever seen him.
Is that what you want to call him? I call him Hank Azaria's blue collar character.
Let the good times roll.
Let the good times roll. This one writes novels that, like, I love this character's voice so much. My favorite is just, I wanted to fix those potholes on Main Street, and to just show a cutaway of a guy driving a popcorn truck into a hole, and he just goes, whoa.
Here's the thing. On the commentary, they pointed out they wanted that to be one character because he appears later as a limo driver, much older, with the same voice. But then they just gave that voice to everybody. It was like wise guy voice.
Yes.
They referred to it as.
I love this character.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy. Where's your date?
She's with him.
Ouch. So I guess you want me to take you home, huh?
Hey, I paid for this car, I paid for this tuxedo, and I paid for the two dinners. We're going to the prom.
Prom it is.
But I don't put out.
I love that voice so much.
Oh, it makes you so happy.
Yeah. And then we saw the Larry Davis Experience playing Yellow Brick Road.
What is that a reference to, Larry Davis Experience? I meant to look that up.
I don't know what the reference is. They show up a lot. They just show up a ton. Yeah.
Feels like a very David Silverman specific thing.
I feel like that's just a David Silverman drawing. He was like, oh, there's a band in here. I'll make sure it's the Larry Davis Experience again.
They were in the Babysitter Bandit episode too, I believe.
They were playing the doo-doo. Do, 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 do.
Yeah.
Maybe they're just really early fans of Fridays and Larry David on Seinfeld.
And that's where the bong line comes in, too. Is that a bong?
I'm not complaining, but just like we've established that what kind of character is Marge? They do kind of play her as the new girl and the most popular girl in school.
But she's been there for 8 years, so she
gets voted prom queen.
That doesn't make sense.
The prom king and queen thing, like, that is weird that Marge doesn't know Homer very well, or vice versa, and that already got voted prom king.
I feel like there's something in the script that suggested the votes were stuffed or something last minute changed with everybody else.
Maybe Artie Ziff.
Queen Marge! Woo! Woo! Long live the queen!
Hello, classmates.
It's so good.
Instead of voting for some athletic hero or a pretty boy, you have elected me, your intellectual superior, as your king. Good for you.
Well said.
Maybe people liked Artie Ziff. You know, like she was riding the Ziff popularity wave.
I can't imagine it. No, he's the most respected person. He doesn't get voted
prom queen.
Damage
the town?
Damn it. I definitely have that. I also have him singing.
Why do birds
suddenly
appear?
Every time.
You're near. Get out of here.
It does ruin
I'm sorry for
Homer.
Talking over that, but I love it.
No, it's great. It's great. And then another heartfelt scene is like right afterwards, Homer has to talk to Marge.
Yeah.
I've never been so sure of something, Marge.
Why are you doing this? Why can't you accept that I'm here with someone else?
Because I'm sure we were meant to be together. Usually when I have a thought, there's a lot of other thoughts in there. Something says yes, something says no. But this time there's only yes. How could the only thing I've ever been sure about in my life be wrong?
I don't know, but it is.
Such a stab in the heart. Yeah.
She's so many to let women him, have told me that.
She's trying to let him down easy, though. She cares enough to at least talk to him.
Though, as a story for, like, as a lesson to teach young men, it's like, well, yeah, maybe a girl did say that, but she actually will realize she loves you later when
something bad happens with her current boyfriend.
And I just have this clip labeled as Artie is a rapist.
Yes, I mean, there was no George McFly to save Marge, so it would have to be Homer.
Well, he at least came to his senses.
That's
also,
true.
Maybe when he gets slapped, he realized, like, oh, I actually can't overpower her.
Yeah.
I'll just stop.
Artie is hardly Biff Tannen.
Darker thought to have that he's just like, oh, I will fail at sexual assault, let's just stop.
We'll say that the sound alone of this is more disturbing than watching it.
Gee, Artie, wait, I don't know. I mean, it was a beautiful evening. Come on, let's not ruin
just
it.
This.
Oh, Artie, please.
Come on, kiss me.
Oh, Artie. Oh,
please.
No, really, I mean it. Now stop it.
I'm sorry, Marge.
Take me home, Artie.
Well, it's 1 o'clock.
I love this line.
If you want to keep me, I'm afraid it's going to be $45 an hour.
Nah, that's okay. I'm broke. I'll walk home.
Yeah, why spoil a perfect evening?
That is about an Uber driver's rate in this thing.
Dude, adjusting for inflation, 1974, that was a very expensive.
It's a lot of money.
It's a limo. It's not a cab. Yeah. It's a fancy stretch limo.
But $45? I can't imagine anything I'd pay $45. I won't pay that much for a karaoke room.
I liked earlier when Homer said to him, like, let's go to Inspiration Point, and he says, like, all right, but I'm only paid to drive.
Do you have the clip of when Artie and Marge are at Marge's doorstep?
Of course.
Please play that, Chris.
It's not only great, but it's, again, the second... I'd like to think the second show in a row where a busy hands joke is made during
it's my line of the
encounter.
Show. Actually, one word is my line of the show.
That's the joke.
Marge, I would appreciate it if you didn't tell anybody about my busy hands. Not so much for myself, but I am so respected, it would damage the town to hear it. Good night.
Good night.
Okay. That was my line of the show. Good night.
Good night.
It's like the ultimate John Lovitz reading, and it is stuck in my brain for 25 years. I just think of that whenever I hear good night. Good night. I'm Artie Ziff.
It's another commentary, that he would say, good night. I'm Artie Ziff.
I'm sad they cut that part out, because I feel like it would have underlined his nerdiness. It would damage the town.
Damage the town.
Damage the town to hear it.
I'm surprised Artie never like went back and tried to like date Patty or Selma because they were into
him.
He
had a chance with them. Yeah. Who's
they thought he was handsome, and he thought they were handsome too.
And hey, I got to be honest, looked pretty good in the '70s.
Yeah,
they didn't look bad. Yeah, they had the husky voices, which they developed at like age 12, according to a flashback.
Who's to say he didn't have sex with them?
That's
like,
true.
Who knows? But like, they didn't go back the next night for them. But I also a line that always stuck to me as a kid, just the. When Homer goes over to the side of the road, he goes, all right.
So I have an extra long clip. This is the end of the episode, but it's so beautiful. It's really good ending. Sweet,
yes. I'm going to ruin this for you. How did Marge find Homer?
Just drove around until she found him,
I guess Springfield might be a smaller town in the 70s.
Well, I thought they said that, like, was he at Inspiration Point, too?
And he walked home from there.
So she got driven
but
back.
But she would know he's from Inspiration
But he Point. Walked back before they left, so maybe she saw him.
Maybe.
It's possible. It doesn't matter. I just wanted to be a jerk.
Shut up. I'm over as far as I can go. All right. I'll walk in the mud.
Stop.
Homer?
Marge?
Yeah. You want a ride?
Sure.
You know, Homer, when I got home, I realized who I should have gone to the prom with.
Who? Oh.
My prom day.
Marge, poor boo.
Why so glum?
I got a problem.
I'm with Bart.
Once you stop this car, I'm gonna hug you and kiss you, and then I'll never be able to let you go. And I never have.
That's what I was doing as a kid by that point.
And
me too.
Cut to credits. Can I talk about the ending for this episode they didn't show that they wrote, but they just ended with Bart gagging? Mm-hmm. Homer is like, they talk about how Artie went to prison for like what? Tax evasion or like insider trading or whatever. Mm-hmm. And Homer's like, no, he can't vote. And Lisa's like, but you don't vote, Dad. He's like, that's because I don't want to. And then the episode ends. So that's what the show was originally going to end like.
Yeah, it was. You feel like you should get some more closure for Artie.
Well,
this was such a big deal back then, though. Like, now we've seen 8 million Simpsons flashbacks and flash forwards. Like,
I was
all their
say,
life
we should probably do an article at some point on Simpsons flashback episodes. How many have there been? Yeah.
Okay, so Hank, you're like, okay, so when they were watching these episodes, they were inspired doing the commentary. So in season 14, Artie came back, and we find out he's obsessed with Marge, and he like recreated their prom, and he like flies her out to like re-experience it. It's like season 14,
so
I believe.
Season 14?
No,
yeah.
No,
that's the first time he comes back?
I know, he's at their reunion, he's not voiced by Lovitz.
It's Dan Castellaneta doing the voice.
They mentioned on the commentary they had just recorded that episode, so that episode did not inspire it.
Okay,
but they definitely you can't see them watching episodes like, oh, they clearly were rethinking this stuff about the Simpsons.
It was Al Jean who was writing and running the show.
I would bet that happens more than you'd think. That I bet Simpsons writers and producers don't actually watch season 2 episodes of the show until they do commentaries and they're reminded, oh fuck, Artie Ziff.
Yeah.
I forgot about that guy.
On some of the later commentaries, you hear about a trivia contest they had with Simpsons fans, and like, we're going to blow them out of the water. And then like, they were destroyed by Simpsons fans at trivia.
By the way, like I meant to mention this earlier, like when they're at prom, I guess if this was like a modern day episode, Homer would have like gotten in contact with Barney and like, dude, let's just like hang out at the prom together and drink. The fact like they are disconnected at the prom and Homer spends the entire night alone, like you think at some point he would have been like, dude, Barney, let's like drink. I'm going stag
let's
tonight.
Let's set this place on fire.
Yeah, Barney did streak, referencing the famous Ray Stevens song. Right.
Yeah, but at no point do they ever like, let's hang out. We're best friends.
Is that because that song's from 74? Because that song appears for no reason.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I mean, like streaking was a fad. Remember the Mr. Show sketch?
Streak Dome.
Yeah,
97. It's fucking great.
Streak Dome 97.
Just that like he streaks for a second, and then we hear the song, "The Streak," as if we needed to be reminded.
Well, it was the Larry Davis Experience.
They're just
playing
on the ball.
It's like like they were just like on the Tonight Show where they're like, oh, we should play a sting here.
Running naked through a public crowd was a fad at some point. That's how low entertainment
was. I don't know when this episode will air, so I'll just say R.I.P. Ray Stevens.
Well, he might deserve it at this point.
He's another one of those. That could be a list too of like celebrities who were broken by 9/11. He'd be another one.
Well, he did make a song called Ahab the Arab a long time before that. So
that is true. So maybe it didn't break him.
Yeah, it just empowered him. So I guess that was the way we was.
That was the way we was.
In our longest episode ever. But I think if any episode merits, it is this one.
They're only going to get longer after this.
Oh,
so as always, I'm your host, Bob Mack. You can find me at Bob Servo on Twitter, BOBSERVO. I also write for US Gamer and Something Awful. Mm-hmm. And I do the classic gaming podcast, Retronauts. Go to retronauts.com. usgamer.com or usgamer.net, or just search for it wherever you listen to podcasts. It's a classic game podcast. All these guys have been on it, and you'll love it. I'm out of breath. Everybody,
my name is Chris, and I'm better than Bob. And you can find me at Cant East on Twitter. Oh, I probably won't answer anything until stuff clears up. But I also do a lot of work at LaserTimePodcast.com, including the Laser Time Show, which is there, and the weekly video game show, Video Game Apocalypse. So check that out at LaserTimePodcast.com.
Mm-hmm. And don't forget that if you like this, but you haven't heard the first season, that's available only to patrons on Patreon.com/LaserTime. $5 a month gets you so many extras, including the first 13 episodes of Talking Simpsons, where we talk about the rough but fun first season. Yeah.
There's also Cheap Popcast, the Laser Times Wrestling Podcast. If you're curious about the Russian Rasputin and Werner von Braun from that, what was that?
Truckosaurus.
Yeah, Truckosaurus episode. There's a wrestling show on this, network.
It'll help you into it. Yeah. So yeah, that's been Talking Simpsons. We'll see you next week, everybody. Good night. The puppetos of love. People talk about me, baby. Say I'm doing you wrong, doing you wrong, doing you wrong, doing you wrong. But don't you worry, baby, don't worry. 'Cause I'm right here, right here, right here. 92% of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later. 92% because of a bike? Not just bikes. We also make treadmills and rowers. Oh, let me guess, for elite athletes only, right? Nope. It doesn't matter if you're an avid exerciser or new to working out. Peloton can help you achieve your fitness goals. 92% stick with it. So can you. Try Peloton bikes, tread or row risk-free with a 30-day home trial. New members only. Not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial. Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.